بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We're doing the masail pertaining to sajdat sahwa. Continuing with the masail, agar chauthi rakat par baithi, if a person sat on the fourth rakat, meaning the final sitting posture in a four rakat namaz, aur attahiyat par ke khari ho gayi, and he read attahiyat, and then a person stood up. This is now continuing a different masla, but yesterday we did the masla where a person didn't sit on the fourth rakat, and a person stood up for the fifth rakat. So we did the different cases that what happened, that this person should come down, and even if he goes up to the ruku of the fifth rakat, then to him must come down and complete his salah and make sajda sahu. But if he went into the sajda, now that fifth rakat is completed, and we said there, just join one more rakat and make it into six rakat. So this will then become nafil. But the faraz will have to be done all over again. So here he's saying a person sat on the fourth rakat. So there we said the faraz was omitted, which was the final sitting posture to sit for the duration of tashahud, that is faraz. And to read the tashahud, that is wajib. So we said there the faraz was omitted. So the entire namaz became invalid. So here he's saying that a person sat on the fourth rakat, meaning the faraz has been done. He sat for the duration of tashahud. And then a person stood up now for the fifth rakat. So what happens now to the salah? So he says, agar chauthi rakat par baithi aur tahiyat par ke khari ho gayi. So he sat, and after reading at-tahiyat, now he stood up. So sajda karne se pehle, jab yaad aave, baith jaave. So here too, before a person makes the sajda of the fifth rakat, because once you made the sajda, the fifth rakat is now completed. So he says, before making the sajda, now come back to the sitting posture and just complete your salah. Aur at-tahiyat na pare, balke baith kar fauran salam phir ke sajda sahu kare. You come back to the sitting posture, and a person, he makes salam, and after making salam, he makes sajda sahu, and then a person will read the at-tahiyat, durud, dua, and then complete his salah. So that is what is required when a person sets. Or agar panchvi rakat ka sajda kar chuki. Now if a person made the sajda of the fifth rakat, this is now before the sajda, you come back, you make the salam, make sajda sahwa, and then you complete your tahiyat, etc., and complete salah. But now if a person made the sajda, tab yad aya. Now after making the sajda, you remember, you know what, my namaz is over, I finished four rakat. This is now actually the fifth rakat. So ek rakat aur mila ke che kar le. So now join one more rakat to this, because you made the sajda, so it becomes five. So now just join one more rakat and make it six. Char faraz ho gayi. Here the four faraz has been done. There what we said, the entire namaz became nafil. Repeat it again. Why? The faraz was omitted. Here the faraz was done. The last sitting posture was concluded, was completed. So because of this, in this masla, the faraz has been completed. And now you join one more rakat and make it two rakat of nafil. Or do nafil or chhe kar le, char faraz ho gayi, or do nafil or chhatti rakat par sajda sahu bhi kare. Now on the sixth rakat, when you completed six rakat now and you sit for tahiyat, and after tahiyat you make sajda sahu, and then you complete your salah as normal. Agar panchvi rakat par salam phir diya aur sajda sahu kar liya to bura kya. If a person after the fifth rakat, he didn't join one more, but a person, he sat down after the fifth rakat. He read his attahiyat, he made his sajda sahwa, and then he completed his salat. So this is not something good that he has done. Like that masla also, we said it wasn't good. He should have joined one more rakat, make it six rakat nafil, because you can make six rakat of nafil. So he said that one rakat is, so to say, it has gone waste, invalid now. So here also he's saying that if a person after the fifth rakat, he sat down and he made salam, so he says it's invalid. Char faraz huye aur ek rakat akarat gayi. Four faraz has taken place and one rakat has gone, so to say, void, useless. Agar char rakat nafil namaz par hi. The next masla, if a person read four rakat nafil namaz aur beech mein baithna bhul gayi, and in between the four rakat, a person forgot to sit down. To jab tak teesri rakat ka sajda na kiya ho, tab tak yaad aane par baith jana chahiye. Then as long as you haven't made the sajda of the third rakat, come back to that sitting posture in the second rakat. Of the person, he is reading four rakat nafil namaz, and a person after two rakats, he forgot to sit down. So he stood up now for the third rakat. So as long as you haven't made the sajda of the third rakat, come back to the sitting posture and complete your tahiyat. And in the faraz namaz, there's a difference. There is a four rakat namaz, You forgot to sit down after the second rakat. The masla was, if you are more towards standing, you continue. And if you are more towards sitting, then you come down. But in nafil namaz, now there's a change. In the nafil namaz, you were on the third rakat. And now you remembered, you know what, I missed out the sitting posture of the second rakat. So even if you are standing, then to come back to the sitting posture. And now read your attahiyat, and then you stand up again for the third rakat. Agar sajda kar liya, to khair, tab bhi namaz ho gayi na. If a person made the sajda of the third rakat, so in other words, three rakats done now, then it's okay, namaz has been done. Or sajda istahu in dono suraton mein wajib hai. And sajda istahu becomes compulsory in both cases. Whether a person, if he came back also, he'll have to make sajda istahu. Or if a person left it out, and he completed the third rakat also and the fourth rakat also, then also a person will have to make sajda istahu in both cases. Agar namaz mein shak ho gaya, ke teen rakat par hi hai ya char rakat hai. He said, if a person got a doubt in namaz, have I read three rakat or have I read four rakat? تو اگر یہ شک اتفاق سے ہو گیا ہے ایسا شبہ پڑھنے کی اس کی عادت نہیں ہے. So this doubt that came in you now, whether I read three rakats or whether I read four rakats, this is not something that happens continuously. You don't have a habit of doubting all the time. This is all of a sudden, today all of a sudden you got a doubt. Did I read three rakats? Did I read four rakats? So it just happened once off. It's not something that you're habitual of. Some people, they have doubts all the time. So that is a sickness. And if a person is not strong enough and he doesn't fight that sickness, then perhaps these sicknesses remain with a person right up till death. For example, sometimes a person makes wudu. So now he starts doubting, did I wash the limb? Didn't I wash the limb? So 10 times he washes that limb. So if a person is not firm, then we find that many a times these doubts, which are from shaitan, they remain with a person. So he says, if it happened first time, to phir se namaz pare. If the first time it happened that this doubt came to you, then a person should read the whole namaz again. Because it happened the first time. Or agar shak karne ki aadat hai, but if a person is in a habit, always these doubts keep troubling a person. That did I read three rakats? Did I read four rakats? It's always, it's continuous. Or aksar aisa shubha par jata hai, most of the time he has these doubts. To dil mein soch kar dekhe. Now a person should think in his heart. Ke dil zyada kidhar jata hai? That which side is your heart now inclining? Agar zyada guman teen rakat parne ka ho, to ek aur par le. If a person, his heart tells him, you only read three rakats. So now read one more rakat. Or sajda istahu wajib nahi hai. And sajda istahu is not compulsory also. Or agar ziyada guman yahi hai, ke maine charo rakate par li hai. And if his heart tells him more, that I have read four rakats. So the heart is saying you read four. To aur rakat na pare, aur sajda istahu bhi na kare. Then in that case, don't read any more than this. And don't make sajda istahu. So if your heart is saying three, then just add one more and complete your namaz. And if your heart is saying four, then finish it up on four rakats, and there is no sajda istahu there as well. Or agar sochne ke baad bhi dono taraf barabar khiyal rahe. Now after thinking, if the thought that he has, this thinking, is that it is equal, that I'm still not sure, he can't make up his mind, whether it is three, whether it is four. So he's still left with a doubt. Na teen rakat ki taraf ziyada guman jata hai, aur na char rakat ki taraf, his mind is also not going to three rakats, and his mind is also not going to four rakats. So he is left with a doubt. He is still not sure. Is it three? Is it four? Is it three? Is it four? So in this case, to teen hi rakat hai samjhe. Then consider it as three. When you cannot make up your mind, then you will take the least number. You will take three. Or ek rakat aur par le. And now read a fourth rakat. Because you are uncertain, so take the minimum number. And then add one more rakat to this. Lekin is surat mein teesri rakat par bhi baith kar attahiyat pare. But in this case also, on the third rakat, you will sit down. Although according to you now, you took the minimum number, which is three. But then to after the third rakat, you will sit down and you will read at-tahiyyat. Why? It's possible it's the fourth rakat. And because it's possible it's the fourth rakat, the final sitting posture becomes farz. So you'll have to sit here also. Tab khari hoke chauthi rakat pare aur sajde sahu bhi kare. Then after sitting on the third rakat, now stand up for the fourth rakat. And read the fourth rakat and make sajda istahu as well. Just one more maslam. Agar ye shak hua ke ye pehli rakat hai ya dusri rakat. Now a doubt came. This is normally regarding the third and the fourth rakat. But here he is explaining a case where there's a doubt. Is this the first rakat or is this the second rakat? Now a person got the doubt right in the beginning of salah. Is it first rakat or is it second rakat? تو اس کا بھی یہی حکم ہے. دین دا سیم رولنگ دیٹ اپلائیز ٹو دا تھرڈ اینڈ فورتھ رکعت مسئلہ, دا سیم رولنگ ول اپلائی ہیئر ایز ویل. کہ اگر اتفاق سے یہ شک پڑا ہو دیٹ آل آف اے سڈن یو گاٹ دس ڈاؤٹ فرسٹ ٹائم ان یور لائف دس ڈاؤٹ کیم, از دس فرسٹ رکعت اور از دس سیکنڈ رکعت, تو پھر سے پڑھے, دین ریڈ دا ہول نماز اگین. اور اگر اکثر شک پڑ جاتا ہے تو جدھر زیادہ گمان ہو جاوے اس کو اختیار کرے. اینڈ اف دس ڈاؤٹ کمز ریپیٹڈلی اگین اینڈ اگین, دین ان ٹو وچ سائڈ یور ہارٹ انکلائنز یو موو وتھ دیٹ. اف یور ہارٹ سیز اٹس فرسٹ رکعت, دین جسٹ کیری آن ون مور رکعت اینڈ دیٹ ول بیکم دا سیکنڈ رکعت. اینڈ اف یور ہارٹ سیز اٹس دا سیکنڈ رکعت, دین دیٹ از دا سیکنڈ رکعت. سو یو سٹ ڈاؤن, اف اٹس فور رکعت دین یو سٹینڈ اپ فور دا تھرڈ رکعت, اینڈ اف اٹ از دا ٹو رکعت نماز دین یو میک سلام. سو وچ ایور سائڈ یور ہارٹ مووز دیٹ از ہاؤ یو گو. اور اگر دونوں طرف برابر گمان رہے, اینڈ اف اے پرسن کان میک اپ ہز مائنڈ اٹ از ایکول, ہی اسٹل ڈاؤٹنگ فرسٹ اور سیکنڈ, کسی طرف زیادہ نہ ہو, ہز ہارٹ از ناٹ گوئنگ ٹو اینی پرٹیکولر سائڈ, تو ایک چیز سمجھے, دین یو ول گو اگین ٹو منیمم یئر اینڈ یو ول ٹیک دا ون رکعت. لیکن اس پہلی رکعت پر بیٹھ کر التحیات پڑھیں, بٹ ہی سیز یئر آلسو یو ٹک منیمم وچ از دا فرسٹ رکعت, بٹ یئر آلسو یو مسٹ سٹ ڈاؤن ناؤ اینڈ ریڈ دا التحیات, کہ شاید یہ دوسری رکعت ہو. Maybe it is the second rakat. I took it as the first because of minimum. But maybe it's the second. So let me sit down here also. Aur dusri rakat padke phir baithe. When you read the second rakat, again you're going to sit down. Like that one. In the third you're going to sit and in the fourth. Here in the first also you're going to sit and second also you're going to sit. Aur isme alhamdu ke saath surat bhi milawe. And in these rakats you will read surah Fatiha and you will read a surah. Because in the first rakat and second rakat of a farz namaz, is surah Fatiha and a surah. Similarly, nafil namaz, every rakat is surah Fatiha and a surah. Phir teesri rakat par kar bhi baithe. Now if it's a four rakat namaz, he's saying where you had the doubt in the first and second. He says in the third rakat, there also you will sit down. Ke shayid yehi choti ho. That possible, this is the fourth rakat. So here you'll have to sit on the third one also. Phir choti rakat pare aur sajdah sahu karke salam phere. Then read the fourth rakat, make sajda sahu and make salam. So where the doubt came in the namaz, in the first or second rakat, and then you couldn't make up your mind, so you took minimum, you took it as the first rakat. So in this case, every rakat you will be sitting now. In the first one you're going to sit, second one you're going to sit, third one you're going to sit, and the fourth one, a person is going to sit. Coming to the masail of zakat, we're discussing those types of wealth on which zakat is not fard, is not obligatory, a person doesn't have to give zakat on these things. Living quarters, household furniture, crockery, personal clothing, right? A person has got a living quarters or he's got furniture, personal items, crockery, personal clothing, whether these are utilized or not, so there's no zakat on it. However, Islam abhors waste. That a person today, there's a lot of wastage, too much of wastage. People, they've got shoes, but they just go out to the mall, and the mall has been structured such also, that some malls, the more you spend time there, the less the parking you have to pay. If you spend 4 hours, then maybe you pay 2 rand. And if you spend 2 hours, then you pay 5 rand. So they structure it that way. All your time is wasted. Person in the weekend, he just goes to the flea market. Now he's just gone there to see, now he's got so much of time, so he has to go and see something. So now when he's walking, he sees an ornament for sale. So that ornament, he really doesn't require it. But because it's there for sale now, I must buy something, and he brings it home. So there's a lot of wastage today. A lot of wastage today. In our food, many people, you just go to restaurants. Children order this, they order that. And today, what you pay at the restaurant? 500 rand, 1000 rand for the family. And then half that food, they leave it there and they walk away. And yet there's so many people that don't have food. Now in Ramadan, I'm not talking of other countries, I'm talking of our country, and I'm talking of Azadwal. Here in Ramadan, this is an affluent community, wealthy community. And there were people we came across that didn't have milk in their home. Didn't have milk to that extent. So here one side, there's so much of wastage. And on the other side, there are people that are totally in need. And those people that didn't have milk in their home, they such also that they're sitting in their home. They're not even asking anyone or telling anyone that this is our situation. So a person, when we buy, think also. I have a jacket, I have two jackets. Why must I go and buy a third jacket now? Just because somewhere it's written 50% off. So now I must buy that jacket. Think, rather buy the jacket and give it to a poor person. Let him use that jacket. So Islam abhors waste. Number 5, liabilities which equal or exceed one's assets. That if a person is in debt, so he's got assets, but the liabilities that he has, the debt that he has, this is far more than what he owns. So this makes a person zakatable. For an example, a person, he's got 5,000 rand cash. But he's in a loan of 50,000 rand. He's in debt of 50,000 rand. He has taken a loan from somebody. So he's still owing 45,000 rand over and above what he got. So that means this person is eligible for zakat. He becomes a recipient of zakat. He can take zakat money. But many people, what they do, for example, a person, he goes to the bank and he takes a loan from the bank, because in his business also it helps him that now he takes a long-term loan. So he's showing the revenue every year when he's showing his books that I still got a loan, so many hundreds of thousands, so many millions I'm owing. So does this mean now that this person is not zakatable because he's got that loan for so many millions? That ruling does not apply here. In where a person, for example, number one, those bank loans are haram. But here we just explaining the masla part of it. In that bank loan that a person has taken, so assuming it's for a house, a person bought a house. So he's paying an installment of 5,000 rand a month. And over 1 year, he pays 60,000 rand. So this person, when he is calculating his zakat, the installments of 1 year, that can be deducted. So 60,000 rand will be deducted. So if this man, for example, in his bank account, he's sitting with 100,000 rand, and now he has to calculate zakat. So the 60,000 which he has paid in installments, that will be deducted from the 100. And now he will just pay on 40,000 rand, he will pay zakat. If he's going to say, I am owing the bank a million rand, how many years he won't be paying zakat? The poor people are going to be deprived. And even one view, some ulama have gone to this extent, they say not even 1 year. 1 year is too much. You're depriving so many people. They say that take 1 month, just that month that you're calculating your zakat. For example, in Ramadan, if you're calculating, if your date is in Ramadan. So he says your installment for Ramadan is 5,000 rand. So they say that just deduct the 5,000 rand. So if you had 100,000 in your bank account, then you pay zakat on 95. Although you can make amal on the second view, which is the easier view, that you minus the 60 and just pay on the 40. Number 6, haram wealth. You served or stolen wealth or property. A man, he robbed somebody, or a person, he gambled. Allah Ta'ala save us, is an example I'm just using. And now he has gained haram money. So that haram money, the question is, does he have to pay zakat on that or not? No, there's no zakat on that. That is haram money. Or stolen money, that's haram money. There's no zakat on that. So that money, you will have to actually locate the owner. Who is the owner of this money? And go and return. If the money was stolen from somebody, go and return the money to that particular person, because he is the owner of that money. And if you try to locate him, you're unable to find him. Maybe you are in another country, you work for somebody and the money was stolen from there. Perhaps now you can't locate that person. It's impossible. Then that money becomes wajibut tasadduq. Now you'll have to take that money and you'll have to give it out in charity on behalf of that person, so to say, and with no intention of sawab. There's no sawab over here, because the money in the first place didn't belong to you. That money belonged to somebody else. One occasion, as Mawiyus Patel Sahib, rahmatullah alayhi, mentioned that he spoke on this, that this is hukukul ibad, that this is oppression when you stole somebody else's money. So he says, after a few days, one person phoned Maulana, and he told Maulana that, Hazrat, that you gave this bayan. So there was one person that was working for me, and he says that after listening to your bayan, I found a note at my door, and he said that 300,000 has been put into your bank account. That he, whatever he had taken unjustly, every cent was then returned to that particular person. So our mu'amalat, our business transaction, we should be very, very careful. For one dinar, I think it was. One dinar or one danik, I can't remember exactly, which is a minimal amount. It's a very, very, very minimal amount. 5-10 rand we're talking about, plus minus. For that, 700 zakat of namaz of a person will be given to the person who you stole from on the day of Qiyamah. So we're not talking something small. To read 700 zakat is not a joke. A person in Ramadan, all your faris put together, all your nawafil that you're putting together, count 700. And for that one, those couple of rand, 5-10 rand that you stole, you'll have to give it to somebody on the day of Qiyamah. So that haram wealth, it should be returned to whoever is the owner of it. Number 7, interest funds accumulated in a banking account. That person, he's got now, a person, he cannot keep money. Here is another masla. You cannot keep money in the bank with the intention of accruing interest. It's not permissible. The only reason you can open a bank account, for example, you're working for a company, and the employer, now he enforces it on you that you have to have a bank account because your salary is going to be transferred. Today everything is EFT, so it has to be transferred into your account. So then it's permissible to open a banking account. Or in our country, security is a major risk. So when you open a banking account, at that time your intention should be, I'm opening this account because of security reasons. Then only it's permissible. So to keep money in a bank account with the intention of accruing interest, that is totally not permissible. Now that interest money that is in that account, as far as possible, Allah Ta'ala give all of us the tawfiq, that every month that interest money must be taken out. The moment you see your account has been credited with interest, then immediately it must be taken out. Now many people ask this question, but I got, for example, 100 rand came into my account. So can I give 100 rand away from my pocket? And that 100 rand that's there, that will be fine. I've already substituted it with this 100 rand. That's not permissible. That 100 rand must be withdrawn from there. It must be taken out of that account, and that money must then be disposed. So this is the correct way of doing it. It is wajib to dispose of it to a deserving person without any intention of reward. That this interest money that's in the bank account, you must give it to a person that is a recipient of zakat, a man that is eligible for zakat. He is a recipient of interest money as well. So a man that can take zakat, you take your interest money and you give it to that type of a person. Or sometimes a person asks, for example, can I give it to a kafir? So no problem, a person can give it to a kafir as well. Your interest money, you can give it to a poor kafir. It can be given to that person. For example, you got somebody working for you, the worker at home, domestic, she's a non-Muslim. So now you want to give that money over to the domestic. So there also it's no problem. But they remember that when you're giving it to that domestic, that worker, later on you mustn't feel that I did her a favor by giving her this. So she must repay, because then you are taking benefit from that interest money. So when you give it to your workers, even your zakat money, some poor Muslim is working for you, besides his salary, you helped him with zakat money, he was in debt. Now later on, don't feel that I have done him a favor, so he has to repay that favor. That zakat that you did, he did you a favor by taking it, that is your ibadat. Similarly, the interest money, this person has helped you, that he helped you to that you dispose of this money. So don't take benefit from it at a later stage. So it is wajib to dispose of it to a deserving person without any intention of reward. Or it can be returned to the financial institute from where it was acquired. Meaning from where you got it, that interest money, you can give it back to them. You got it from the bank. So you can give it back to the bank. Now here also another masala that comes about, just away from our topic, but it comes to my mind, I'd rather just discuss it. Many people ask this question. For example, you accrue interest from the bank. And then, for example, a person was late with his payment with SARS. So SARS now penalized him. So they charge him interest. They charge him extra on what he's supposed to pay. So they ask that this interest that you get from the bank, can you take this interest and now pay it to SARS? Yeah, it's not permissible. It's not permissible. What can happen, for example, a person, SARS, he paid, he overpaid. And then let's assume that SARS gave him a rebate, or SARS, they gave him interest because he overpaid. So now you acquired interest from them. And then later on, they charge you interest for something. So the interest that you accrued from SARS, you can pay it back to SARS. Or for example, the banking institute, they charge you interest for something. So the interest that was acquired from them in another banking, in a savings account, you want to pay it back to the same bank, to the same institute. For example, if you're banking with EFSA, it must be given back to EFSA. If it's FNB, it must be given back to FNB. You can't take FNB's money and give it to EFSA and take EFSA's money and give it to FNB. So that is the masla, that where you take it from, to the very same institute, the funds will have to be returned. Number 8, provident fund until the investment is fully paid out. This we explained in detail yesterday, that the provident fund, which there are two types, and here he's talking of the one that where it is imposed from the side of the employer, where the employer imposes upon it this provident fund, so it involuntarily. So there's no zakat on it until you are paid out. When you are paid out, then when you're calculating your next zakat, then that amount will have to be included there as well. Number 9, bad debt. This also we discussed yesterday. If the creditor is unable to retrieve his debt and has lost hope of recovering the money, then there's no zakat on it because there's no hope. If a creditor has proved that the debtor owes him money, or the debtor confesses that he owes money and the creditor is able to retrieve his money, then such a debt will not fall under the category of a bad debt. That's not a bad debt because he's saying I owe you the money, you got proof also, and he's saying I'll pay you your money. So in that case you have two options. One is every year when you calculate zakat, you pay the zakat. And the other option is if you're not certain whether he's really going to pay me or not, then you hold on. When later on, after 5 years, 10 years, he pays you, then for all the past years, you will have to pay the zakat. And the last masla, number 10, irremovable gold or silver limbs or fillings for nose, teeth, etc. Meaning it is joined now. You cannot remove it. So then there's no zakat. But if it is removable, then the masla will differ. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Coming to the kitab, Anwarus Salah. So yesterday we had discussed the posture of ruku, qawma and sajda, and all the wisdom that Hazrat Shah Ahmad Shaheed Rahmatullah Alayh has mentioned over here. The last chapter that has been left is qada and salam, the sitting posture and making salam. This we have already discussed, but for the benefit of those that were not here, we will read it out again. So it will be a revision for those that were here previously also. So he says, now is the final sitting posture. You finish your standing posture, then you went into ruku, you came up into qawma, you went into sajda, then the in-between posture you sat now, between the two sajdas. Now after you have completed your namaz, now you come to the final sitting posture, which is the qada akhira. So he says, jis waqt ye banda ardash aur ta'zim aur arz hajat aur tasbih muwafiq apne hausle ke kar chuka, when this servant, he has now presented whatever his need was to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and he expressed the greatness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and he praised and glorified Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala according to his ability. Every person, he will praise Allah according to his ability. He will speak of the greatness of Allah according to his ability. So once you have done this, to qabiliyat baithne ki hasil ki, now this person has attained the ability to sit before Allah. You have praised Allah, you have spoken of the greatness of Allah. Now you are able to now sit in front of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Like that person that goes into the house, you met that person, how's everything, and then you sit down, now we can sit and now we can talk. So here also a person, he has presented his need, he has spoken to Allah ta'ala, he has spoken of the greatness of Allah, now you can sit before Allah. Agar che baitna samne, aise baadsha ali ja ke tar ke adab hai. However, he says that although sitting in front of such a great king, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, who is the king of all kings, this is khilafi adab, this is contrary to etiquette. Because a person, his ustad comes to him, and the ustad is standing, the student is not going to sit down. The adab is, and etiquette is, you will stand up for that person, you will stand and you will talk to that person. Not that you are sitting and now this person is standing. Now imagine for your ustad, for a teacher, or for some respectable sheikh, some alim, we won't sit down and he is standing. We will stand up and then we will talk to that person. Or even if he's sitting, then we go and we stand there, then he'll say, no, sit down. Then you sit down. Many a times Hazrat is here and you have to give a bayan. So normally the person that has to give the bayan, he stands and gives the bayan. Many a times Hazrat will say, no, sit down now. So then you sit down and you give the bayan. So that is adab, that is respect, that is etiquette. That a person, he doesn't sit down, but he stands. So similarly, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, who is king of all kings, how is it that we sit in front of Allah ta'ala? We're supposed to be standing in front of Allah ta'ala. So what is the wisdom, what is the reason that we now sit before Allah? So he says, lekin mazmoon iska misal par is tarah samjhe. So he says, understand this subject matter by means of an example. I'll explain it to you by means of this example. Ki yeh baithna roobaru apne sahib ke is waaste hai. That sitting in front of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, it is for this reason. He says, why you sit? It is for this reason. Ke masalan jis waqt sahib paav apna daraz kare. Aur yeh banda ke khidmat paabosi ki is par lazim hai baja lawe. Ya yeh ke muntazir hukam ka hai. He says, it is for this reason that you sitting, that now Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, again, Allah ta'ala is not like us, like a human being. And when we talk of the hands, the feet of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, this is according to the shan and the status of Allah. It's not like any human being like we understand. So he says, when Allah ta'ala will now stretch out his leg, then it is now compulsory on us that we serve Allah ta'ala by kissing the feet of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And in the previously we explained also that the mashayikh have written, some have written that even to kiss the feet of an alim, of a great sheikh, a great alim of deen, Allama Shami rahmatullah alayhi says it's permissible, no problem. And others have said that it is not permissible. And those that said that it is not permissible, they said on the basis that if that person stretches out his feet, or he allows you to kiss his feet, then pride will enter into the heart of a person. So therefore there are two groups of ulama, therefore generally it is not practiced upon. So here Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, who is king of kings, we will kiss the feet of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Oh, we are sitting now, that what is your command, O Allah? That whatever command you are going to give me, I'm going to implement this command. I'm going to take this command and I'm going to put it into practice. So we are waiting to implement the command of Allah. So he says, Lekin is maqam ko bhi ibadat se khali nahi rakhna chahiye. But this position also, where we are waiting for the command of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, or to kiss the feet of Allah, he says, this also shouldn't be free of ibadat. This occasion also has to be filled with ibadat. Ke tohfa durood aur salam ka aur baithna tashahhud ka muqarrar hai. That at this time what has been fixed and what has been stipulated, the gift of durood and salam upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the gift of tashahhud, at-tahiyyat. So he says, is tarah par, that how will you read at-tahiyyat? At-tahiyyatu lillahi was salawatu wa tayyibat. That your person says that at-tahiyyat, التحیات للہ, all my verbal عبادت, this is all for اللہ تبارک و تعالی, my verbal عبادت is for اللہ, والصلوات, my physical عبادت, this is all for اللہ تبارک و تعالی, والطیبات and my monetary عبادت, this is all for اللہ تبارک و تعالی. So easy to remember it, the first one التحیات is your verbal, your mouth is first, and then والصلوات, your physical عبادت, your strength, all this is for اللہ تعالی. And finally your monetary ibadat, your wealth, this is all for Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So here some ulama explain it, that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he went for Mi'raj, then this is what he offered to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, that my physical, my verbal ibadat, my physical ibadat and my monetary ibadat is all for Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. But some ulama have mentioned that up to the point of Sidratul Muntaha, what transpired between Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Jibreel alayhi salam, etc., when he went for Mi'raj, that is known. Like one of the authors of Mishkat, he has written that after this point, his view is, he says that we don't know what has transpired. But nevertheless, those that explain that this is what was expressed before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So in return, Allah ta'ala gave Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam three things. That he said that my verbal, my physical and monetary ibadah is for Allah. So Allah ta'ala said, As-salamu alayka ayyuhan Nabi. That peace be upon you, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That one is the salamati of Allah ta'ala. The second thing, wa rahmatullah. And the rahmat, the mercy of Allah Ta'ala be for you. Wa barakatuh, and the barakat and the blessings of Allah Ta'ala. So in return, three things were given to Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So at that time, Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam did not forget his ummah, but he said, As-salamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi salihin. That this peace and this salamati, not only for me, but it is all upon all of us, my entire ummah, and upon the pious servants of Allah. And then finally is the tashahud, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, that I bear witness that there is no deity except Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a messenger of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So here he makes the translation, he says, yani sab bandagiya zuban ki Allah ko hai, that whatever ibadat is of the tongue, that is also for Allah, aur sab bandagiya badan ki, and of all the physical ibadat, that's also for Allah, aur sab bandagiya maal paak ki, and all your monetary ibadat, this is all for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Salam tum par ay Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, aur muhar Allah ki, aur khubiya iski. So on this, it was said that peace be upon you, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the mercy of Allah and the blessings of Allah. Salam hum par, aur jitne bande Allah ke acche hain. And he said, no, salam upon us and all the servants of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, the righteous servants of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Sab par gawahu is baat ka, ke kisi ki bandagi nahi siwa Allah ke, aur gawahu main iska ke Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam banda uska hai aur rasool uska. And I bear witness that none is worthy of worship except Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the servant and the messenger of Allah tabaraka wa taala. Further he writes, parna at-tahiyat ka qaada, qaade pehle aur dusre mein wajib hai. He says that to read at-tahiyat in the first sitting posture and in the second sitting posture, just the recitation of at-tahiyat, this is wajib. اور بیٹھنا قعدے پچھلے میں بقدر پڑھنے التحیات کے فرض ہے. And he said to sit in the final, in the last sitting posture for the duration of reading التحیات, this is فرض. This is all what we have just explained in the مسائل. اور مضمون قعدہ اخیر کا اس طرح سمجھے. Now he said, what you are reading in the final sitting posture, all this that we are going to read now, the التحیات, the درود, all this that we are reading, he said, understand it this way, کہ یہ وقت دربار کے رخصت کا ہے. This is a time when you are now leaving the court of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Because now you're in your final posture, so you're leaving the court of Allah. So he said, when you're leaving the court of Allah, As-salamu alayka karke bahar aana chahiye. So you should say salam, and then you leave the court of Allah. You went to somebody's house, he hosted you, you stayed with him, now you are leaving that person's house. So when you're leaving his home, at that time, what happens? Now you make your final salam to that person. And then you leave the home of the person. So similarly, now you entered your namaz, you are in conversation with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And you reach this stage now that you are now leaving the court of Allah Ta'ala, you are terminating your salah. So here also you make salam and then you leave your salah. So that's what he's saying. Or as-salamu alayka is darbar ke sahib ka ye hai. And what is the salam that a person will present to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in the court of Allah? It is the at-tahiyat. So the at-tahiyat is actually the salam, the final salam where you are bidding farewell and you are leaving the court of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So he said, التحیات للہ والصلوات والطیبات, this is the salam to Allah. بعد اس کے سلام نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم پر ہے. So thereafter, is salam upon نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. So first was salam for Allah. And that was, التحیات للہ والصلوات والطیبات, the first part. The second part, salam upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Assalamu alayka ayyuhan nabi wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So this is the second part of that tahiyyat. اور اپنے واسطے اور سب بندوں کے واسطے اس طرح ہے کہ السلام علینا وعلى عباد اللہ الصالحین. Now we come to the third part. The third part is where a person is making this salamati, this dua for himself and for all the righteous servants. So this is the third part of that at-tahiyyat. The first was for Allah, the second for Nabi صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم, the third part for yourself and for all the righteous servants of Allah. بعد اس کے تشہد ہے. And thereafter is the tashahud, where we are giving evidence, testimony to the oneness of Allah and the prophethood of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Aur tashahud kehte hai gawahi dene ko. And tashahud means that a person, he bears witness, he gives testimony. Dene ko. Wo ye hai, ashadu Allah ilaha illallah wa ashadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. Janna chahiye ke ye gawahi tawheed ki hai. He says that understand and know that this testimony that you are giving, testimony that you, this is of tawheed, that I believe in the oneness of Allah. Tawheed ki hai, ke khuda ko ek jaane, aur iski bandagi mein kisi ko sharik na kare. That I believe that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is alone. Allah ta'ala is one. And there is no one else that's a partner with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in his worship. Aur Paighambar alayhi salatu wa salam ko khuda ka banda jaane. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah, is the servant of Allah ta'ala. اور رسول اس کا پہچانے and recognize him as the رسول of Allah. Now further he says, اور معلوم کرے کہ ایسے ہی مضمون کو زبان پر لانے اور دل میں یقین کرنے سے مسلمان ہوا ہے. How a person becomes a Muslim is when a person, he utters this with his tongue, verbally he recites the kalima, but at the same time he has full conviction of this in his heart. That is what is iman. That a person, اقرار باللسان and تصدیق بالقلب. In your heart also, you must have yaqeen. A person must give evidence from the heart that I believe in the oneness of Allah and the risalat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this must be from the heart. And with this, it must be brought on the tongue as well. On the tongue, because the laws of shariat will then apply to such a person. And iman, the reality of it, is from the heart of a person. اور نماز فرض ہوئی اور اسی پر ختم ہوئی. On this namaz was made farz, and on this namaz ended. That namaz, it was made farz on the basis of iman. A person that has iman, on the basis of this iman, namaz became farz on you. And when you're completing your namaz here also, it is on the same tawheed that a person is completing his namaz. He's reading ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. Aur maloom rakhiye ke jis mazmoon par madar kisi kaam ka hota hai, takrar usi mazmoon ki awwal akhir aaya karti hai. Further he says that when any work, it is based on some subject matter. It is dependent on some subject matter. If any work, any task, it is dependent on a particular subject matter, then that subject matter is repeated in the beginning also, and that subject matter is repeated in the end. Our whole deen, all our ibadat, it is dependent on iman. So to say, everything is dependent on iman. So therefore, the subject matter of iman, it is always repeated. Similarly in salah, now he's going to explain, that because your salah is also dependent on iman, the subject matter of iman is spoken about in the beginning, in the middle, in the end of salah as well. Is waste pehle takbir tahrima se ke qasd hazir hone darbar khas ka karte hain. That therefore, when a person, he makes the intention of presenting himself in the court of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, at the time when he says the takbir tahrima, then what does he recite at that time? Inni wajjahtu wajhiya lilladhi fatara as-samawati wal arda hanifa wa ma ana min al-mushrikeen. That I face in the direction of that being who has created the heavens and the earth, which is hanifa, moving away from all adyane batil, all falsehood, all religions of falsehood, and turning towards the deen of the oneness of Allah, and I'm not from among that ascribe partisan to Allah. So in this also is the tawheed and the oneness of Allah. So when you started your salah, because namaz is dependent on iman, so see, the subject matter of tawheed and the oneness of Allah is brought in the beginning. Yani maine muh kiya iski taraf ke jisne zameen aur aasman banayi. I have turned in the direction of that being who created the heavens and the earth. Ek taraf ka ho raha, that this is moving away from all false deens towards the correct deen. اور میں شرک نہیں کرتا, and I do not ascribe any partisan to Allah. اور اندر نماز کے بھی یہ مضمون بہت ہے. In نماز also the subject matter of tawheed is brought again. جیسے کہ لا الہ غیرک. Now look, when you read the sana, you just said Allahu Akbar, you commence your salah. Now you're going to read the sana. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك وتبارك اسمك وتعالى جدك ولا الہ غیرک. Again you're saying there is no deity except Allah تبارك وتعالى. So see, tawheed is brought for the second time again. اور ایاک نعبد و ایاک نستعین. A person in Surah Fatiha, every rakat you think, Allah, I only worship you, and I seek assistance only from you. So here also is Tawheed, that I only worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So see how Tawheed is repeated. Because everything is dependent on Tawheed, so it's repeated here also. Aur jis waqt darbar se rukhsat huye, to yahi ahad wa peyman kar uthe. And when a person is now departing from the court of Allah, you are completing your salah, then you make the same promise again, and then you stand up. And what you say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. So he says that Tawheed is repeated throughout salah. After a person recites the tashahud or the attahiyat, baad iske durood pare. Now a person will recite durood. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad, kama sallit ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Which means that, Allah, send your special mercy upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and upon the family of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Just as you have sent salutations upon Ibrahim and the family of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, O Allah, you are worthy of all praise and you are most exalted. And the second durood, Allahumma barik ala Muhammad. O Allah, bless Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ala ali Muhammad and the family of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Just as you have blessed Ibrahim alayhi salam and the family of Ibrahim alayhi salam, you are worthy of praise and you are most exalted. Thereafter he says, Ab adab ke saath namaz se bahar aana chahiye. Now you have come to the end of salah. So a person, when he has come to the end of salah, so you leave your salah now with a lot of adab also. With etiquette, a person will leave his salah. Bahar aana namaz se faraz hai. He says, for a person to come out of salah, this is compulsory. Khuruj bi sun'ihi. That a person through some action, he has to come out of salah. So come out of namaz, this is compulsory. Aur tahiyya masnoon, namaz se bahar aane ka shara mein ye hai. He says, what is the sunnat way of coming out of namaz in shariat? He says, the sunnat way of coming out of namaz is that a person says, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. He says, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, and he comes out of namaz. This is the sunnat way of coming out of salah. So he said, munfarid ko chahiye ke ba waqt salam ke farishto kiraman katibin ki jo iske daaye aur baaye hai niyat kare. A person that is munfarid, you are reading your namaz individually on your own for some reason you read namaz on your own, or nafil sunnat namaz, person is reading on his own. So at the time of salam, then a person should make the niyat of the farishtas, of the angels, the kiraman katibin, those scribes, those angels that are writing, that are on your right and those that are on your left, that you should make niyat of these malaika also. Munfarid, you should make niyat both sides of the malaika. Now here, as it explains, he says that there are two systems in the world of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. The one system that is running in the world is the system that all of us know here. And that is the system of cause and effect. That if this happens, then this is going to be the result, this is going to be the consequence of it. For an example, a person is hungry. So now what does he do? He knows that I'm hungry, so I need to eat food. So what does he do? He goes and gets food. So he eats the food. Now he knows that I've eaten food. So the consequence of eating this food is that I'm going to be satiated, my stomach is going to be full. Or a person is thirsty. So we believe in cause and effect. Now I need water. So I'm going to drink water and my thirst is going to be quenched. Or a person is sick. So immediately his hand goes towards the panado. That I'm going to have this panado and my headache is now going to be removed. So this is the belief of, this is the system of cause and effect which we believe in. And there's a second system which overrides this system. That is the system of the ghaib, the system of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. That it supersedes, it overrides this system of cause and effect. This is a system of asbab. I opened my shop and now the customers came and they came to buy in my shop. This is cause and effect. But above this system is the system of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And that is much more superior. For example, a man he had a headache. But now he went and he took that panado. In that panado is not his cure. It's possible with that panado he took the wrong medication. He might get even more sick. Or a person, he went and ate food, he was hungry. But that food led to him becoming ill, because perhaps it didn't agree, or there was some poison or something was in that food. So, it is actually when you eat, that satiation that you're getting, or the water that you're drinking, now a person is quenched, that is the work of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Person is sick, and he has to be cured. The medication, that is only the sabab, that is only the outward means. But the cure is from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. That is why if the masla comes, that if a person is sick, and at that time he says, no, I don't want treatment. If he passes away, he won't be sinful. Because adopting the means, using the treatment, that is only sunnah. If a person adopts it, there's no problem. Shariat has given the concession. But if a person doesn't adopt the means, then a person will not be held responsible in the court of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So when a person makes salam and he makes intention of the malaika to the right, to the left, etc. So this system of the ghaib of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, which is above the system of cause and effect, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala very quickly he'll open up this system for such a person. Now a person will have his connection with Allah, his yaqeen on Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala more than what he believes on the system of cause and effect. So therefore a munfarid, he will make niyat of the malaika when he makes salam to the right and when he makes salam to the left. Or muqtadi, jo imam ke piche barabar hai. Now we're reading namaz in jamaat. And there's a muqtadi that is directly behind the imam. So he's talking about that person that is directly behind the imam. Imam, jo imam ke piche barabar hai, aur daaye taraf wale muqtadi, aur farishton ki niyat kare. When he makes salam to the right, according to the kitab, it says over here that all the musallis that are on your right, then you make niyat that I'm making salam to all the musallis that are on my right. And all the malaika, the farishtas that are on my right, I'm making niyat to them as well. But according to some, they say that if you're directly behind the imam, then when you're making salam to the right also, then you make niyat of the imam when you make salam to your right. But according to this kitab, it says that when you're making salam to the right, only the farishtas that are on your right, the malaika, and those muqtadis that are on your right hand side. Aur isi tarah baaye taraf ke salam mein imam aur baaye muqtadi aur farishton ki niyat kare. And he says, when you're making salam to the left, the person that's directly behind the imam, when you're making salam to your left, so he says, at that time you make niyat of your imam. And to those muqtadis that are on your left hand side, and those malaika and those angels that are on your left hand side, so you make niyat of them as well. Aur jo muqtadi ke imam ke daaye hai, now he says, that muqtadi, that follower that is on the right hand side of the imam, that is on the right hand side of the imam, daaye salam mein muqtadi aur farishton ki, then when he is making salam to the right, then you make salam to the muqtadis and the farishte and the angel jo iske daaye hai niyat kare, that on his right hand side you make jay niyat, meaning when you are now on the right of the imam, so when you making salam, then the angels that are on the right hand side and the farishtas that the muqtadis that are on the right hand side. اور بائے سلام میں امام اور مقتدی اور فرشتوں کے جو اس کے بائے طرف ہے نیت کرے. And when you're making salam to the left, then you make salam of the imam, the muqtadi and the angels that are on the left hand side, because on your left now you're going to get the imam, so the imam is included. اسی طرح جو مقتدی کے امام کے بائے ہے, similarly that person that is on the left of the imam, that is on the left of the imam, similarly a person which side the imam is, you'll make niyat of the imam, of the musallis and the angels. And the side that the imam is not, so in that side, just the angels and just the musallis, just the musallis, just the musallis that are on that side. Aur jo muqtadi ke daaye taraf kinare sab ke hai. Now he says that muqtadi, that is on the right hand side of the imam, but he is right at the end of the saf. He is the last man on the saf. So you on the right. So when you're going to make salam to your right, after you there's nobody that's there, because you're the last man in the saf. So he says, there, daaye salam mein farishto ki niyat kare. When you make salam to your right, there's only farishtas. So there you only make niyat of the angels, because you are right in the extreme end. There's no one after you, there's only angels that are there. Aur baaye salam mein imam aur muqtadi aur farishto ki. But when you turn to your left, now you're going to have all the musallis also, you're going to have the farishtas also, and you're going to have the imam also on your left. So on the left you make niyat of all of them. Aur muqtadi baaye taraf ke kinare wale ala hazal qiyas. And the muqtadi that is standing on the left of the imam. So he says exactly, he is on the extreme left. He is the last person on the left. So when he is going to make his salam now on the left, so what happens? It is only the malaika that are there. And when he turns to the right, then he's got the imam, he's got the angels, and he's got the muqtadis. So in this way, a person should make his salam. However, he didn't make mention of the last dua. The dua that we read in the end, Allahumma inni zalamtu nafsi zulman kathira. So inshallah we will continue from that point tomorrow inshallah. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Subhanallah. Bihamdihi. Subhanakallah.